I think this is an interesting report because I think it speaks to why you always have to go beyond the headlines in these big, big announcements. And certainly when it comes to the daycare, the $10 daycare, it really depends on who you are and the hours you work. There's a new research paper out by Cardis, and it shows that the working class, the largest cohort of workers of our economy, and these are the people that generally struggle the most to keep up in the economy, they're being left behind because these are the people who work shift work. And so when it comes to a national daycare plan or how it is set up right now, it doesn't work because it's only for those who work 9 to 5. And how do you get a system down to a $10 daycare if the majority of the people who really need it and who it's supposed to help can't sign up for it? Like, why was there no flexibility? This was one of my questions when they were rolling it out, because I'm one of those people. I've always been a person who's worked wonky shifts that don't work. I can't get daycare in the morning at 5 a.m. for my kids. So I got to make other arrangements. It's just people don't work 9 to 5. And generally those who do are the ones who can afford to pay for daycare. Let me bring in Renza Nauta, who leads work and economic policy research over at the Hamilton-based think tank Cardis. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you very much, Alex. Good morning, and it's great to be on your show.
I mean, I don't know really why it's such a surprise to people, of these findings. This to me should have been thought of going in, which is why I never really saw this announcement really as being sincere.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think this comes down to kind of a basic fact that people in government haven't really given attention to who the working class actually is. Our research report showed that the nature of the working class has changed a lot over the last 50 years. The stereotype is that it's someone working in a unionized job in the manufacturing sector, but that's shifted over a long time, and it's now as likely to be a female recently immigrated person working in the service sector. The problem, as you pointed out, is that the kind of people that we're talking about don't typically work 9 to 5 jobs. They're servers in restaurants or they're grocery store clerks, and they work while other people are eating or while other people are running errands. And they're also more likely to hold more than one job, and they don't work the typical kind of hours that lend themselves to the kind of childcare that's being subsidized by the federal program.
Right. And so what do they do if they can't get childcare? They tend to not be able to work. I mean, that's your choice. Well, someone's got to take care of the kids, and if your job, so you'll end up staying home. And a lot of people can't. If you're in the working class, you can't afford that.
That's exactly right. And I think a lot of people don't understand that there are actually different kinds of childcare available. Typically, what we think of, or right, what people often think of when it comes to childcare, is they think of standard licensed daycare operations, but there are others out there too. There's licensed home-based care. There's also some people will rely on grandparents, or some people rely on a neighbor, especially if they are working that kind of shift work on the weekends. Some people will also choose to bring in a caregiver for a few hours a day. But the thing is that, and this is what Statistics Canada tells us, your standard licensed childcare that is being subsidized by the federal government is 2 to 3 times less likely to offer flexible arrangements or evening care than alternative arrangements. And the center-based daycare is 9 times less likely to offer weekend care than other kinds of childcare arrangements. So the problem with the federal system right now is that flexibility is not being taken into account. And that's actually what people in the working class need.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I had to go with a nanny. And when you say that, people say, oh, well, must be nice. Well, actually, no, it is essential, and it's cheaper than daycare in many counts, or you have more flexibility. You can make the schedule work. And in our case, we had a lovely woman who's basically part of our family. But nonetheless, that is a route that people have to go. But then how do you create the system? I mean, it always would appear to me that offering tax credits or incentive, those kinds of subsidies would have made more sense, so that you can actually choose what daycare works for you. And the other side of this conversation, Renza, is that this isn't sustainable at $10. If we can't get the working class into the program, it's not going to get down to that price that, that everyone's promised. And then it has to be further subsidized.
Yeah, and we have a report from a couple of years ago where we took a look at that question about the sustainability of the federal program, and what our research showed is that to achieve the kind of coverage that that people are calling for this for the federal childcare program, costs are going to spiral out of control, One of a few things is going to happen. Either taxes are going to go up and we're going to pay for it one way or another, or the provinces are going to be left with holding the bag on this one, or alternatively, quality is going to go down of childcare services because the federal program is just doesn't provide enough money. Now, there's a way to around this. Yeah. Which is that you put the money in the hands of parents themselves because they're the ones who know what kind of childcare they need, and they're the ones who are going to find the right kind of childcare for them, and that's where giving them the money provides that flexibility and also the money that people need in this cost of living crunch that we're going through, to find the best solution for them.
Yeah, but it's interesting because there were a number of private, facilities that did not want to join this program because they couldn't get the clarity and it didn't add up because they were like, this is not going to work. And so there has been a considerable amount of resistance from those who have been kind of cast as being spoilers. But they're seeing something that the government's not being honest about, because ultimately, to your point, this will either kind of implode or we're going to have to pay a whole bunch more to make it work. But again, how long are people going to want to do that, given all the other cost of living and all the other social programs we keep creating?
Yeah, and I think that is sometimes what happens when governments create kind of a large bureaucratic response to problems. Not all problems need to be solved by a new bureaucracy. I mean, we can also I believe that we can trust parents to find the most efficient and the most cost effective ways and that meet their needs. And that's not what the one size fits all program that's being delivered by the federal government is doing. As I say, there is a better way to do it, and it's to leave a lot of the decision making in the hands of parents.
What a novel concept! Nonetheless, I thought, I thought your research was really interesting, but I think it just highlights what most of us should have seen and what the government should have factored in. But we'll see where this goes. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex. Have a good weekend to you too.
All righty, so there you go. It's all, I say it, the devil's always in the detail. The headlines are great. Oh, look, cheap daycare. And then you have to actually parse into how's it going to work. And ultimately, a lot of corners are cut. So we'll wait and see.